From 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, 5 through 7. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Good morning. It is wonderful to be able to be with you this morning. I didn't ask that you would join me in prayer, please. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. What a joy it is to be with you again. I feel like it was just last year, and it was, like almost exactly a year ago when we came together to celebrate Tim's anniversary. And it's always a joy to be with you, but it's an especially rich privilege to be with you to celebrate and to rejoice in this Staff Appreciation Sunday. And I really want to bottle you all up as a congregation and take and like sprinkle you around all the rest of the churches within our region that don't do what you are doing. On ABC News the other day, I heard a report about, they were saying that people really don't mean it when they say thank you, and that we just say it, just to sort of say it. Well, Tim and staff members here at the church, if you saw that report, that does not hold for this day, okay? I think that's pretty clear in the video that's been shared and in the words that have already been offered, that this church family loves you and are so grateful for the impact that you're making in the midst of the life of this congregation. So thank you on their behalf, because they really, really do mean it. I mean, words have already been said today about the fact that Tim is a voracious reader. And I love to read as well. I think Tim is kind of in the dictionary as voracious reader. That's where you see his picture. But I love to read as well. And in the summertime, the reading that I do changes a bit. Cotton candy is big in summers at fairs. And so in the summertime, I shift my reading a little bit from some of that more heavy, intensive, kind of ministry-related stuff. I love to read mysteries. I love to read historical novels. And this summer, I just finished reading a book called On Secret Service by John Jakes, historical novelist, talking about the Civil War and the Pinkertons and kind of how that all influenced the life of the Civil War. And of course, Abraham Lincoln was a huge part of that story. And the story is told of Abraham Lincoln as he was stumping for an election for the House of Representatives, that he told a story of a little locomotive that was used on a small section of track near Springfield, Illinois. And this little engine had one very dominant feature, and it was this huge whistle that could be heard literally all the way down through the Sagamon Valley. There was one small problem, however, that this engineer had as he drove this train, as he engineered this train, because he had to make a powerful decision, because there was only enough steam in the locomotive to either blow the whistle or pull the load. So it was either you blow the whistle or you actually did what the locomotive was called to do and pulled the load, right? And that really is a decision that leaders make, right? Are you going to blow your whistle? Are you going to toot your horn? Or are you going to pull the load and be about the work that God is calling you to be about? And I think it's safe to say, in the life and ministry of this congregation, those that are here as leaders are not about tooting the whistle, but they're about pulling the load. They're about being about the work that God is calling them to do. Honestly, today, though, too, I don't want to make it about them. Because quite frankly, they're uncomfortable at that. Right? Because it is about pulling the load. So I want to take the limelight off of them, but I also want to hold them up as examples of what we want to talk about this morning. In thinking about their faithful service here at North Hills, and specifically what it means to be a servant of God, what I want us to think about for a little bit of time today are the one another passages in Scripture. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but there are over 40 of them in the New Testament, 40 passages in the New Testament that use that phrase, one another. Over 40 times we hear the phrase talked about in relationship of what it means to be a part of the family of God, what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, and you know a number of them. Love one another. Encourage one another. Lift one another up. Those are all very, very familiar phrases. And this slide actually lists them. It's that really tiny print there, but all 40 of them are a part of that particular slide, and it defines how we're called to live with one another. And really, the staff that you have in your midst are people that model and exemplify so many of those one another concepts in their relationships with one another and also with you. The one another's describe not only what we're called to do and to be, but they also describe what we're not to do and not to be. Bottom line is, the fact that God spends 40 verses in the New Testament talking about one another passages means that it's pretty important in his mind, this relationship we share with one another. And so that's really where I want to focus our time together this morning as we lift up and remember the staff, is also what is God's call to your life and to mine in terms of our relationships with one another. And Andy Stanley, the pastor at the North Point Community Church outside of Atlanta, says this about this the one another passages. He says, the primary activity of the church was one anothering one another. I kind of like that. It kind of rolls off the tongue, right? The primary activity of the church was one anothering one another. Now, if that's the case, and the primary activity of the church is one anothering one another, how does what we do in church measure up to that call? In my mind, I think we should be able to take what we do as the family of God and lay it up against those 40 one another passages, right? And see how we're doing in the midst of that. We get all intentional about filling slots on a nominating committee. We get about getting people plugged into programs and delivering curriculum in Sunday school. But when are we intentional about one anothering one another? Right? I mean, we're lifting up the staff today because they are people that exemplify that. But how are we doing as a congregation in the midst of that? And Stanley gets up in our grill a little bit on this idea when he says the following. He said, when everyone is sitting in rows, you can't do one another's. I comb the scriptures to find a one another passage that says, giveth one another a necketh rub. Because like you could do that right there, right? To the person in front of you. Now you in the front row, you are like out. I mean, But the reality is there are no passages in the scripture that talk about that. Now, I'm not demeaning, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not demeaning Sunday morning worship. I mean, that's an important part of who we are, and this is a key way that we're together as a family and God speaks into our hearts and lives. But the reality is, if we want to grasp the truth about what God is trying to convey to us in these one another passages, it's simply this. Being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, being a Christian is not so much about boards and committees. It's not so much about the building, but it's about the body. It's about face-to-face, hand-to-hand, and side-by-side with one another. That's when we're being the church, and that's what your staff exemplifies. I've heard it repeatedly. And I got to tell you, it doesn't take a staff appreciation Sunday for me to hear you folks as leaders appreciated. Every time that I am in this place, unsolicited, I have members of this church family saying to me how blessed they are that you're here. So staff appreciation is not just today. Trust me, as an outsider, it is every day that I'm at North Hills Community Baptist Church. Today, however, I want us to focus in on one of those one another passages that speaks about that heart of servanthood for anyone that's in the body of Christ. It's certainly exemplified in the life of your staff, but I think God calls each of us to live it out in our own lives, and you've already heard it read out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. Allow me to read that passage to us again. Peter writes, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." So the focus today is on this one another passage. Peter says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Man, I mean, talk about jumping into the deep end of the pool. Talking about swimming upstream. In our culture today, humility is not something prized by many people, is it now? When you think about it. We live in a world that really is focused on ourselves, right? All right. When you have people that are using these smartphones, often what they're doing is they're using a product, an app, that's called... Not going to do it for me. That is called Facebook. There it is. Thank you. There, I'll just do this all day. That's called Facebook. What is the first? It's a compound word, face and book. What's the first word? Face. Whose face are we talking about? Usually mine, right? Because if you have a Facebook account, it's about you talking about your face and what you're doing, right? Now, this is a disclaimer. I do not have a Facebook account personally. Regionally, we do have one. I don't have one because, quite frankly, my life is not that interesting. I mean, I get bored in my life. I can't imagine what the world would be like, right? So that's not so much an important part of me. But there are many, many people that find it's about sharing about their life. And they take pictures. And they use these things, whoops, thank you, that are called what? What are they called? Selfie sticks. Yeah, selfie, it's about my face, and it's about myself. So we find ourselves living in a world that is focused on ourselves. The phrase is, be in it to win it. My three favorite people are me, myself, and I. Right? You understand even from the words of Pastor Tim today that word I is not a part of the staff. It's about we. It's about us. It's about taking the focus off of me and putting it on thee, right? And about discovering where it is that God has called us to. So Peter here in 1 Peter 5 is just challenging us with a huge challenge, and that is this call to humility, right? Now, let me define first off what humility is not before I get to talking about what it is. First, humility is not allowing yourself to be a doormat. You know what I mean? You know what it is. You say, "Whoa, you got to be strong. You can't let people what? Walk all over you," right? Right? So sometimes we think that's if you're humble and if you have a soft and gentle spirit that's what it means. Well, it doesn't mean that at all. Secondly, it also doesn't mean Next slide. Thank you. It also doesn't mean being a jellyfish. You ever heard of that phrase, Casper Milk Toast? I'm showing my age, right? And you know that phrase, Casper and Muktos? You know, kind of spineless, kind of, you know, well, if that's okay, kind of the 98-pound weakling that gets the sand kicked in their face at the beach, right? That isn't what humility means either. Here's a definition for humility that is powerful. Next slide, please. C.S. Lewis said the following. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. Let's just sort of let that marinate in your spirit for a minute. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. Notice the nuance there? So, if I'm thinking of myself less, what does that mean? It means I have more time to do what? Yeah, think about others, right? I can think more about others. If I'm thinking of myself less, I have time, I have energy, I have comfort to be able to think about others more. But it also means that I have time to think about God more. And that my agenda is not filled with me, myself, and I, but it's rather filled with what it is God wants for me and through me. So in our relationships with one another, part of what it means to be clothed with humility is about thinking of ourselves less. In the passage, Peter frames this in a powerful way. Notice again what he says in verse 5. Next slide, please. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Fascinating phrase that Peter uses there. Clothe yourselves with humility. Peter's not spitballing there. I mean, he's just not sort of making this up on a wing. I mean, those words, that phrase is chosen very, very carefully by Peter here. Clothe yourselves with humility. Because you see, that verb, clothe, comes from two root words. The word apron and the word gird. Apron and gird. So think about that with me. Where else, here's your Jeopardy question for the day. Where else in the New Testament do we hear apron and gird together? Do, 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 do. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah, exactly. When Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Next slide, please. At the Last Supper is where we hear that phrase, apron and gird, together in a sentence. And so what is it that Peter's doing here? I think it's very, very pointed. Peter is saying, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Peter is saying, and he's remembering out of his own life, he's saying that in the same way that Jesus, what? Girded his loins and bent to wash the disciples' feet, so you and I are to be in relationship with one another. That's what it's to be like. Peter is calling us to remember that experience of the Lord's Supper. Now, if you know Peter well enough, you know that he didn't have that kind of response initially. So next slide, please. We have a passage of Scripture out of John that talks about that experience. John 13, verses 3 to 9. Listen, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter said, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. You see, for Peter, he was thinking about this moment of the washing of the feet, and he was thinking about it this way. He was thinking about in terms of human relationships. But rather, what Jesus was saying to Peter, he's saying, Peter, no. You got to change your image. You got to change your understanding that it's not just about you putting yourself at a place of submission to another person, but more importantly, it's about you putting yourself in submission to the living God, right? Notice what he even says there, and it's a powerful, powerful phrase. Verse 8. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. unless I wash you, Peter, you have no part of me. In other words, Peter, understand that this call to humility, this call to servanthood, is non-negotiable. It's a part of what it means to be one of my children. It's a part of what it means to be a believer, is to submit. There are two truths that you and I need to grasp out of that Sermon on the Mount when it comes to the call to servanthood. Next slide, please. Humility calls us to do two things. One more click. Whoop. One more click. There we go. First is to remember what it was like to look into the face of Jesus. Now, Peter had that right in stereo. He had it etched on his mind what it was like to have the Lord Jesus wash his feet. Right? You and I don't have that, but we do, don't we? Because the reality is that the one who died on Calvary died for you. He died for me. So when I'm ready to get all up and love the famous people in my life, me, myself, and I need to remember what Jesus did for me. But secondly, I need to respond. Not only remember, but I have to also respond to that awesome gift by living out that role of a servant, the one who died for me. I need to put myself in the place of subjection, the place of submission to others, and not toot my horn, but rather pull the load and walk with God's people. That's the call that God places upon our lives. But the challenge is, next slide. I don't know about you, but there are some times when I suffer from spiritual amnesia. Man, I remember well, 1976, Valentine's Day, on the campus at Kenyon College, where I gave my heart to Jesus in the Church of the Holy Spirit. I remember that night like it was yesterday. I remember the wonder of his love for me and how I was broken and poured out, and I realized my need for a Savior. But I got to be honest with you that there are some times in my life when I get amnesia and I begin to forget. Next slide. And I start looking more in the mirror than I look at the cross. I become more concerned about my agenda, my plans, my well-being, than I do about the plans and the agendas of a living God who loved me and died for me. Right? Peter says, you and I are to clothe ourselves with humility. I mean, God puts a high premium on humility. Next slide, please. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' first public witness, think about that. He had eons to write that first sermon. Eons, right? He knew it was coming. He's God, right? So what is it that the Lord is going to preach right out of the box? Now, if it was me that was God, and aren't you glad it wasn't? If it was me, I would have come out spiritual guns blazing. Man, this is a lost, perverse generation. You got to hear about it. We're going to talk about sin, right? Notice what the very first words out of the mouth of the Savior is. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying to us, friends, if we're going to understand this Christian life, we need to know what it means to serve and to have a heart of a servant and to live it out in our relationships with one another. We wonder why we feel frustrated as Christians sometimes, why our lives don't feel very fulfilled. We wonder why things aren't happening in our lives the way that we believe that they could. Well, I think it's right here in Scripture, back in 1 Peter. He quotes it out of Proverbs. Next slide, please. Oop, one more. Peter says there, quoting out of Proverbs, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. KJV, King James says, he gives grace to the humble. So, literally, next slide. Oop, back up one. Click it again. Oop, I got to pick it up. One more forward. There we go. Thank you. I had to have my Pittsburgh Steelers and Bengals slide up here. My goodness. Gosh, absolutely. It's almost as if God, in his relationships with us, stiff arms proud people. He opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. Scripture tells us that. But it says that he gives grace to the humble. Right? So if you and I want to know what it means to have God's grace active in our life, we need to be people that grow in the heart of servanthood, grow in the heart of humility, grow in the heart of what it means to clothe ourselves. Last year when I was with you for Pastor Tim's celebration, I shared with you a quote by a pastor in Northern Ireland that continues to just haunt my spirit. Next slide, please. One more. Pastor Alan Scott at Causeway Coastal Vineyard said this. He said, in the kingdom of God, leadership is all about surrender. It's not about being movers and shakers. It's about being the moved and the shaken. Beloved, God longs for all of us to be people that are moved, that are shaken by the wonder of his love for us. And when we're able to do that, when we're able to submit to that, when we're able to remember the price that was paid and respond out of a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of love, this world will be changed. I believe that. And the reason that this congregation is vibrant as it is because many of you have caught that vision, but I can tell you for certain that your staff has caught that vision. And that these are people that are more than happy to stand in the shadows that the limelight can be on Jesus. That are happy to remember and to respond with the wonder of a God who loved them so much. So we celebrate them today, but in celebrating them, we celebrate a God who has changed and rearranged their lives to be those of servants. I would ask the staff to please come forward, those that are here. We're going to offer a word of prayer for them this morning as we conclude the service together. Why don't you face them? Because, yeah, and I'm just going to kind of put my hand here. All right. Awesome. First, thank you for giving to the Lord. You give to these folks, but I know it's about ministry for you. It's not a job. It's a calling. I get that. And so thank you for that precious gift that you give for the kingdom of God. Would you pray with me for these fine leaders? Gracious God, we come to you this day with hearts that are overflowing. Lord, not just in the wonder of your love for us, but, oh God, for the gifts that you give. And Lord, these people that stand before you are those people in this place. You have called them, oh God, to serve this flock, and they have accepted that call and are willing to serve out of their gifts and out of their abilities and, Lord, even out of their weakness. Thank you, Lord, for the example that they provide of people that are willing to be clothed with humility towards one another, but also, O God, towards this fellowship. Lord, for their sacrifice and for their service, we say thank you. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to bind them together in a team that seeks your heart, seeks your mind, seeks your will for the future of this church family, and that, God, you would continue to raise up people within this body that model not only their heart, but, Lord, more importantly, model your desire for us to be people that are clothed with humility in our relationships with one another. Bless, encourage, and and strengthen them, Lord, in the work that they do for your kingdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, friends. Thank you. Concluding hymn together today is going to be, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Oh, How He Loves You.